The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And good afternoon. We're back in studio. Great to be here, although we had a fantastic time in Nashville last week. A lot to talk about, to say the least. And let's begin with the story of this month, and that is the tournament. Alabama are earning a number one seed in basketball. Yeah, they started the football season off number one. They ended up a little bit farther down. But this is what it looks like. Alabama, of course, leads the cavalcade of eight SEC teams. Tennessee's in there. Kentucky playing a former player on Friday. Those are the times on the right. A&M, a lot of people aren't happy about the seeding of Buzz's club. How about Missouri getting in the tournament under a new coach? Arkansas slipping in there in the 8-9 game Thursday afternoon. Auburn, in spite of a slide toward the end, gets a Birmingham slot that has everyone upset, especially Kelvin Sampson, the coach of Houston, which is the number one seed in that region, not in that region, but in that part of the bracket. Gamecocks are the least surprising number one team of all time. It was unanimous. And then the Gamecocks get underway Friday afternoon. LSU in there. Tennessee, a four seed. Ole Miss, an eight. Georgia made it. Alabama made it. And so did Mississippi State, both in men and women. Chris Beard has been hired. The speculation is over. That has been made official by the university. He will be formally introduced tomorrow afternoon, and we'll have coverage of that live here on our program. And to talk more about that, Jeff Borzello has been covering the story for many, many weeks now. Jeff, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. It's a move that has drawn some sneers from around college basketball. Good afternoon. And tell us, first of all, how did Ole Miss make this happen and what did they go through in their decision making?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, so the discussions with – or the Ole Miss first reached out to Chris Beard's representatives about right after Kermit Davis was fired. So that was on February 24th, late February. A week prior to that, Chris Beard's charters were dropped. And so once Kermit was out, discussions began with Beard's representatives. Ole Miss kind of dialed in on him as their next guy, and that's when discussions really kicked in. And I'm told they did significantly more due diligence than a usual hire. Ole Miss officials, in combination with the search firm that they had hired, did a tremendous amount of due diligence to make sure they were comfortable with Beard. They spoke to a number of people close to Beard. They gathered their own information about what had happened in December. This wasn't a review of coaching credentials or anything like that. They were making sure they were comfortable with him as the right guy to hire in a leadership position. And again, discussions kicked on last week, and they zeroed in on him as the guy they wanted to hire. And then it was finalized this morning and made public this afternoon. And there's a press conference to introduce him tomorrow, which is when I'm told contract terms should be made official.
Jeff, I understand due diligence, but some cases are far more difficult than others. I realize you're reporting this, you're not conducting it, but can you give us a better description in terms of how they went about it? And in the process, let's if you wouldn't mind including exactly what they were trying to figure out here, because he was fired under very dubious circumstances. You mentioned the charges were dropped. They were very serious charges. However, a lot of questions remain unanswered.
Well, since the incident that happened in December, Beard has been consistent in saying that the events that were first reported were not consistent with what actually happened. And his fiance, she recanted her initial statement. She did not want charges pursued on Beard. And I think that, I mean, the charges being dropped played a huge part and him and Ole Miss feeling more comfortable hiring him as their next guy, obviously. And from what I'm told, the due diligence was, you know, it was speaking to a lot of people around Beard, both professionally and personally. about his character, about his personality, about the incident in December. Just getting more and more comfortable, or trying to get to a point where they were comfortable making him their next basketball coach. I know that they looked into the incident on their own. They didn't take the early police reports and the police investigation on their own. They looked into it themselves. They gathered their own information. And at some point in the last couple of weeks, they became comfortable in saying he's our guy.
Jeff, again, I'm asking you to speculate on reporting, but you obviously have done a great deal of it. What made Ole Miss feel comfortable about a situation that Texas clearly felt he should be fired? I mean, and exactly why was he fired at Texas? I mean, I realize their charges were later dropped, but they still must have felt a high level of concern to let go of a coach whose team was number one in the country on the day he was fired.
Yeah, Texas, when they fired him, they made it clear that it wasn't just the charges still existing is the reason they fired him. They said his behavior was not consistent with someone they wanted in a leadership position at the University of Texas. And even when the charges were dropped, that initial police affidavit, which detailed what happened or what his fiance said happened that night, that still exists. That's still out there. And a lot of schools would not be comfortable with hiring somebody given what happened just 3 months ago, 4 months ago. But once the charges were dropped and once, you know, I think his fiance not wanting charges pursued and recanting her statement and saying what happened in that police affidavit was not what really happened, I think those were pretty big steps in Ole Miss feeling comfortable or at least confident to say that he's going to be our guy. He's got the right character to be our guy.
Jeff, I don't think I would have ever asked a question like this under normal circumstances, but I do think it's potentially germane to this issue. You used the word fiance. She later backed down. She recanted her story. Do we have any idea whether they are still a couple?
I am not sure, to be honest. I don't want to speculate on it. I don't really know the status of their current relationship.
But you would agree, would you not, that relationship is an integral part of this whole situation, thus leading to any, you know, people can speculate any way they want, but I was just curious, and maybe we'll find out tomorrow night at the press conference.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be the first sign. I noticed Ole Miss put up a photo of him on campus today. He was there with his daughters, I'm guessing we'll get a little bit more information at the press conference tomorrow when questions are asked and things like that.
No doubt. Jeff Borzello with the reporting on the Chris Beard story. And that is certainly the story of this day within the conference in relation to on the court. It doesn't seem like the university there found anything. They feel comfortable. We'll hear from all the parties tomorrow night. That press conference will be going on late in the afternoon, and we'll have it for you right here. We'll take a short break, back with much, much more.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So some football news, Nick Saban barking up the wrong tree. Who would have the nerve to write that? We'll talk to him in about an hour. Blake Tomlin. And how about Tommy Rees and Kevin Steele, both clocking in at about $2 million a year. That would put Tommy Rees as the highest paid assistant coach in the country. Any wonder why he left Notre Dame? And the defending SEC West champ, the LSU Tigers, they want to be the elite. We knew that already. That's why they hired Brian Kelly. And how about this? The collar brackets are out. Do you have Legend, Jim, Larry, I-Man as your top seeds? The entire bracket will be revealed later. Guest for the day, Morgan William will join us. Remember the big shot against UConn a couple of years ago? Topmeyer, Farnham returns. He wasn't around long enough on Thursday afternoon. And we're back here taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And John is in Plano, Texas to begin our calls. Good afternoon, John.
Hi, Paul. Paul, my question is, to what extent do you believe that the SEC conference leadership had to agree to the hiring of Chris Beard by Ole Miss? And the reason I say that is I'm a UT alumnus, having attended that university in the 1970s, and I often have felt that the reason Texas got into the SEC on an expedited basis by a year was it had to agree to disassociate itself from Chris Beard. And as you recall, it fired Chris Beard on her about 5th of January. A few weeks later is the announcement it's going to be joining the SEC in 2024. And so I just sort of find it unusual that Chris Beard is finding itself into the SEC, but do you think it's because of changed circumstances?
John, let me explain a couple of things. First of all, Texas was officially invited to join the SEC in July of 21.
Correct.
I agree with you that the decision was announced a few weeks ago, but that decision was already in the works. It was simply a matter of 24 or 25. I don't think either one had anything to do with Chris Beard. The question is, did the SEC consult on Chris Beard? I can't answer that specifically. I can tell you with absolute certainty that Keith Carter ran it by the commissioner of the SEC. Now, the commissioner has told, I realize I sound like I'm a politician here, but I'm just simply stating what I know to be true. The commissioner has said many times that they do not tell schools who they can or cannot hire. They do consult, though. And I think had there been an absolute virulent reaction to Chris Beard, he probably wouldn't have been hired.
Okay. Well, I was wondering your thoughts on that, because my question really
but
was
I will
here.
Tell you this, though, John. I think there's some space between why Texas fired him and what Ole Miss found to be palatable for them to hire him. And I don't know what it is, and I don't know any more than even talking to Barzello a minute ago. When a coach is accused of strangling his fiance, the police are involved, and then the charges are dropped. Now, why are the charges dropped? More than likely because the person who made the allegation refused to sign off on that. There's a big difference between calling the police and reporting something that would appear to be a crime and going through with it. And there's an even bigger, higher standard for a local authority to indict someone and pursue a case if they did not think it was winnable. And I don't know anything beyond that. I know what people are saying, but what does that mean? People change their mind all the time. The question isn't whether the person was willing to file a charge and testify in court. The question was, why did she call in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
What led her to call the police and make a claim like she did on that night? And that's the one thing that I don't think a reporter looking into it can come up with. I'm not even sure a university can come up with it, because you know what the coach is going to say. The coach obviously said it wasn't true. If the coach had said, yes, I tried to strangle my fiance, do you think he would be hired?
No.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to teach a class here in criminal law, of which I know nothing about. I'm just simply asking pedestrian questions. Thank you for your call, though. Appreciate it. And John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, it's daylight savings time. Thanks for getting in an hour early.
It wasn't easy.
You'll be happy to know the clock on my car is right again.
I was somewhat disappointed. It's always one of my favorite things of the year is to be able to turn that clock back, and someone had already done it for me today.
Yeah, my daughter's been ragging me about it every time she gets in the car, and I just say it's a learning moment. It's all about patience, and I remind her of it yesterday. Hey, shout out to the workers over there at Stonehenge for staying up all night and moving all the stones forward 1 hour. I thought they did a great job, didn't you?
I did too. The one thing I always like about daylight saving time, John, usually it brings spring weather. Today it's been in the 30s and 40s all day where I live, and I'm sure where you live. So we didn't get everything, but we got part of it.
Yeah, and a shout out to you and the producers. I thought the last 3 days of last week were great in Nashville, and I think you've got your new substitute or fill-in host, Bobby Bones. It was the Bobby Bones hour when you were the guest last week. Didn't you find it that way?
When Bobby Bones is your guest, you do not have to work very hard, do you?
Nope. And here's two observations, and I'm going to refer to a ESPN article that came out today. But as far as Hugh, he needs to dial back that canonization of St. John of Calipari. And is Tennessee not in their late season swan song again?
Yeah, it's not. Tennessee, I don't know who was more disappointing. I think Kentucky was, and it's not so much that Kentucky lost and it really mattered a lot in their seedings because they came out fairly well. It was just I felt disappointed, John, for those thousands of fans who treat the SEC basketball tournament as an annual pilgrimage. That they got there 2 days early and that's all they got, losing to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that was disappointing. Paul, there was an article today titled Realignment Roundtable, Next Steps, Notre Dame and the Unrealistic Relegation Dreams. And it's got all the experts from ESPN. Well, you're not in there, but sorry about that.
Sure.
But what by the way, David Hale's brilliance is up in front in that article. But what I found interesting is that it seems like the four corner teams of the Pac-12, that would be the two Arizona teams, Utah and Colorado, will probably get poached by the Big 12. Washington and Oregon, likely at some point, but it could be delayed to the Big 10. And then you're left with four Pac-12 teams. They'll bring in San Diego State and SMNU, and it's going to be like the little Pac-6. It seems to be going that way. And, of course, Notre Dame will stay independent. How did you find the article?
Yeah, that's I agree. I think it's mostly accurate. Hey, by the way, thank you, John. I want to go back, and I should have done this earlier, and I sometimes you assume people know what you're talking about. And then anyone who assumes should probably not be in part of any broadcast or journalistic endeavor, which includes me today. People are asking me, so explain the Chris Beard situation. I will. He was fired for cause by the University of Texas. He was making $5 million a year. It was part of a seven-year deal. He was the previous coach at Texas Tech, made it all the way to the championship game, and lost in overtime to Virginia a couple of years ago. This is according to a copy of the arrest affidavit. Now, affidavit, just make that clear. Beard's fiance alleged that the two got into an argument when she grabbed Beard's glasses out of his hands and broke them. She alleged that he slapped her glasses off her face and then choked her with his arm from behind for about 5 seconds. According to her statement to the police, he choked me, threw me off the bed, bit me, bruises all over my legs, and could not breathe. In the police report, it does back some of that up in terms of the description. And what happened was that she later, after he was fired and before formal charges were filed against him, withdrew the complaint. That's how we got to today. University of Texas said nothing more. They alluded to the fact that there was more to the story than just that. So Ole Miss, what do? They apparently did their due diligence. According to Barzello a few minutes ago, they will formally introduce him tomorrow. Now, clearly all these questions are coming up tomorrow. You would assume. We'll have the coverage of the press conference from Oxford at 6 Eastern time. You're not going into an event like that and thinking you could whitewash it. You may not get the kind of questions you would normally get at a White House press briefing, thank goodness. But certainly Keith Carter and the university chancellor are going to address all of that tomorrow afternoon, and we will talk more about it at that time. Let's take a break. More to come right here. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll help you get ready for tonight's final episode of Southern Hoops in just a moment.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, welcome back. And our next guest, Morgan William, will forever be remembered for a shot, even though that really doesn't quite encapsulate her storied career at Mississippi State. She's part of the Legends class in 2023 and will be featured tonight on Southern Hoops. Morgan, thank you very, very much. Good afternoon, and thank you for making time for us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
I know you've had a busy life and a great career, so I'm not sure how to approach this next question. You will forever be linked to one of the greatest shots in college basketball history. Something tells me that probably doesn't bother you very much, but do you feel like that your career has been chiseled down to 1 second, or are you okay with all this?
I'm okay with it. It's for a great cause, right? For the women's movement and how, you know, women's basketball is just continuously growing. So I think it's appropriate. I'm happy with it.
The shot, of course, in the 2017 Final Four did many things, but primarily it ended UConn's 111-game winning streak. Mississippi State went on to meet South Carolina. I'm pretty sure UConn has not won a national championship since. Morgan, have you seen Geno since then? Because something tells me he is not happy with you to this day.
No, I haven't. I see him on TV, but not in person.
Afterwards, and I know your team got back there the following year as well under Coach Schaefer. What was it like living with that? Because you had to play an even bigger game 2 days later. How difficult was that to turn around?
It was very difficult. I mean, that was our first time in the Final Four, right? You just come out being beta, then it would be UConn. And then it's just like everyone wants to see Mississippi State play. But it was a great environment. Obviously, fatigue at the end of the season, but it was a pretty cool experience, I would say, but definitely tiring.
I remember very vaguely, Morgan, I think I have this correctly. I remember sending, I was watching the game and I tweeted something, a picture of the shot. And I said, by the way, this is not an April Fool's tweet, because I think the clock had just turned to April 1st. But it was one of the most indelible moments in college basketball history. Just as we reflect back, how would you describe your years at Mississippi State as a basketball player, other than you were quite good?
It was awesome. I tend to remind people, when I first got there, we weren't that good yet. We were a work in progress. And it's like my sophomore year, we got better. Junior year, two consecutive Final Fours. It was awesome. Mississippi State welcomed us with, you know, open arms. Fans are loyal, sold out arenas. It was a great experience. It's something I, you know, never took for granted.
Morgan William with it. Morgan, so often we ask this question, but, you know, we've seen it at various schools at South Carolina, Mississippi State, other places, that we're not traditional powers like a Tennessee that's been there a long time, or a Georgia, or other schools. Tell us about that, those early days in Starkville, and how you were part of that group that literally changed history. What was it like?
It was awesome. I mean, you know, freshman from Birmingham, Alabama, coming to Starkville, Mississippi, first game, not a lot of people in the stands, but, you know, Rick Schaefer, he really took pride in defense, right? Defense winning games and put butts in the seat from effort and energy. So as time progressed, you know, we started getting more players, we started getting better, we started buying into the system, and it paid off. It was very rewarding, to your point. But to change the program around, to become, you know, a Power Five, like my last 2 years, it's awesome to see where we come. Like, hard work pays off, so just stay with it.
This is the time of the year when we celebrate basketball to such a degree, but fans don't understand what it's like to be involved in two Final Fours. How is that experience, especially compared? I mean, the SEC, the women's tournament is a big deal. A lot of women's games are sold out. But when you walked into those arenas in late March both times, what was it like for a young person who had seen a lot, but there's nothing quite like a Final Four?
Yeah, it's nothing quite like it. I remember, you know, when you're out there warming up, you really feel and see the crowd. But for me, when tip-off came, it's kind of like I didn't see anybody. It was just like my team, their team, like, let's get going. And obviously, you know, as time progressed, you hear the fans cheering for you. But you kind of just lock in at that moment.
I know graduating, moving on is never easy for anyone, even a star player like yours. What was that transition like, and how difficult was it to leave a place like, even though you grew up not far away, still leaving a place like Starkville behind?
You know, those 4 years went by pretty fast, I would say. Went undrafted to WNBA, to Las Vegas Aces, made it there for like a month. And then after that, it was just like, all right, well, let's see what life is about, right? I ended up getting a job to work for Pepsi shortly afterwards. But the transition happens pretty fast. Like, I try to tell student athletes now, like, the time is coming. So, I mean, make sure you prepare, whether you're going to continue on your career or you're in the job. So just, you know, make sure you leverage your network, your resources, and get ready for what's to come afterwards. But I know I can always visit Starkville, and they'll welcome me with open arms.
State is in the tournament, like so many other schools in the SEC, but right now it seems, Morgan, from a basketball standpoint, that nobody can stop South Carolina. Your thoughts on that program that you are well familiar with, and what you see when you watch Dawn Staley's team?
Yeah, I was just at the SEC tournament. Heck of a team, undefeated, obviously. They're doing well. You know, you always want to see great representation of the SEC. Hats off to Dawn Staley and her team. You know, it used to be Geno era. Now I feel like it's Dawn Staley's era. So it's nice to be a part of it. I played against her, you know, best of the best teams early on. So just to see how far our program has come is awesome.
Morgan Williams, and we will see it again later tonight on Southern Hoops, a shot that, Morgan, I hope you live a long and prosperous life, but you will never outrun that shot against UConn, I assure you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you on. We'll take a short break. We have much more to do here on a Monday afternoon.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
One of the biggest moments of the basketball season occurs on Sunday night, 6 o'clock Eastern time, when CBS does the reveal show. People are glued to it. People of all walks of life, not only basketball fans, but it's the first time a lot of folks are really paying attention to the college basketball world on a major network. And a lot of people are concerned. I'll leave it to you to determine whether you're upset or not, especially Alabama fans, about what happened last night at the beginning of the broadcast. Greg Gumbel, who has been at CBS for many, many years hosting that show, began the program talking about Alabama earning the number one overall seed. And he said, and I quote, Alabama sidestepped a situation involving criminal activity in which Brandon Miller was associated. He was not charged. They are here as the number one overall seed. A lot of people in Alabama took great offense to that being the first thing out of his mouth in relation to Alabama. We'll get your reaction to that in just a few minutes here at 855-242-7285. Michael is up next. Good afternoon. Hello, Michael.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Paul. Big reason I'm calling in is I don't fully understand how the net ranking works as far as the selection of the 68 teams. Secondly, I cannot figure out how Vanderbilt got left out. Maybe you can help me out.
Well, Michael, the net's about scheduling and power and many other factors. In terms of Vanderbilt, they were criticized and penalized, quite frankly, for the first half of their season, which to me should not matter in terms of determining whether you should get in the tournament or not. I know it's a big factor to get people to schedule better, and that ultimately helps you, like Auburn played very well early on and played miserably down the stretch. But in Vanderbilt's case, I don't know many teams that were playing better at the end of the season. And that's what you want in the tournament. You don't want a team that was good in November and that can't shoot in March. You want a team that's playing very well to make a competitive tournament. So I totally agree with you on that. There's a lot of argument why Vanderbilt was left out, why Mississippi State is in the play-in game. Certainly, it seemed to me they deserved to be in Dayton and earn their way into the tournament. But I am not on that committee. You could ask Greg Byrne is. Maybe we could get him on and discuss what went on inside that room. Thank you very, very much for the call. Chip is in Georgia. You're on the air. Hello, Chip.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How you doing on this pretty day, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you.
All righty. I am a Georgia graduate. My son graduated from Georgia. My dad and actually my father-in-law played quarterback under Wally Butts and beat Alabama in 1956.
Oh, wow.
So my question to you is, yes, sir. So my question to you is, why in the world, I got two questions actually, why would I be pulling for Alabama in this tournament, which I am, and do you think they have a chance to win, sir? Thank you.
Yeah, you know, as far as people pulling for other teams, I never get too hung up on that. You know, the whole SEC thing. Pull for who you want to pull for. I don't think you – and by the way, all the Georgia fans in the world can pull for Alabama or pull against them, and it's not going to change the outcome. Having you know, back to the Alabama question, a week or two ago I was dubious of their chances, but right now I'm firmly in Alabama's camp in terms of winning the whole thing. I think they're playing better than anyone else right now. They've beaten Houston, which I think is the other team that would concern me. They don't have injuries. Houston does. A lot of the key teams have issues. And I think Alabama is not only the healthiest team, but the best team in the country right now. Logan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Logan. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Long time no see, man. How are you doing?
Logan, I was about to call the FBI to put out an APB on you. It's been so long.
Well, they probably know where to find me. So
yeah. We know where you are. We just don't know why you don't call.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Well, I'm trying to get in the I know I'm not going to make the bracket, but how about the NIT, the Paul Feinbaum NIT bracket?
You think I might Logan, be able to get – let me assure you, one good call could knock somebody out of that bracket right now. So don't discount yourself.
All right. Well, I wish I would have prepared better, Paul, but I just want to talk a little bit about this. Bryant, you said Greg Gumbel or Bryant Gumbel and made a statement about Alabama.
This is Greg Gumbel, Bryant's his brother.
Greg Gumbel. Okay. Greg Gumbel. So, yeah, it seems to me like every time I'm watching Alabama now, they have to give this disclaimer about Brandon Miller. And, you know, he did this and that, and he's guilty, but they couldn't hold it against him. I am getting a little sick of hearing about that. I mean, the guy wasn't charged. You know, if you want to get on Alabama, you know, get on the player that really was charged for the murder. But, you know, it's just unfair to the kid. I mean, he's one of the best players in the nation, and I understand that, you know, he's at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, and maybe he needs to choose a little better friends, but I don't think that it warrants a disclaimer every time, you know,
well,
we're talking about Alabama.
Well, here's a problem, Logan, and it's not only that. It's every day. I mean, there was a big hullabaloo over the weekend. You may or may not have seen it. You know, two idiots at the SEC tournament wore jackets, wore T-shirts. I think it said killing your way through the SEC or something, and it became a cause celeb. I mean, frankly, you cannot judge a fan base on two morons any more than you could judge Alabama on Harvey Updike. But it just seems like people want to. And is the question I have is does the media participate in that? I mean, I already know the answer, please. I'm just playing dumb here. But the media feeds the frenzy. And at some point, we are now, 2 months into this story?
Right. And, I mean, it's like they want to keep it alive. They want to have something to talk about so they can discredit Alabama. I mean, it kills me. Like, the SEC – on CBS, it just seems like these guys, you know, we make that channel. We're always the top game in terms of football. And yet now that we're in basketball, it's like they just can't stand it to have, you know, they have to deal with Alabama in football, and now we have the number one seed in basketball. So I really think it's just a bias toward Alabama. I really think these guys just don't like the team, which I don't understand, because I mean we basically make their network, you know.
Well, let's not get carried away here. CBS would be able to show the tournament with it's done a really good job over the last 20 or 30 years with Alabama being a non-factor, but it is to me. You're right, though. I don't think these decisions are made on the front line. I think they're, you know, from a digital standpoint, from a television standpoint, there are middle-level managers who are pushing this narrative, but get used to it. If Alabama is playing on the final Monday night of the season, 3 weeks from here, it will still be discussed, except it will be discussed more. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.